Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Very good afternoon to you once again. If you have just tuned in, put a smile on my face. Putting a smile on my face this afternoon is Sabian. Sabian says, afternoon, Luca, always tuning in. I'm tuned in from Daveyton in the East Rand, enjoying the show. Inkosi. Oh, man, you know, I read that with a smile because Inkosi is actually Xhosa. And of course, I'm Xhosa speaking. So, Inkosi Sabian, Diabulela. Really, really lovely to hear from you once again. You know how much I always go on about young people. It's always been one of the things that are really close to my heart. And I must say, Given has been doing a great job in tackling youth-related things a whole lot. In fact, in light of the story that I was doing earlier on about the 16-year-old that gave birth to a second child, this is one of the conversations my sister and I, had over the past couple of weeks. I can't even remember where it really started from. But we're talking about also the culture of us as adults protecting the younger ones, even if we feel they are of age for certain things. You might argue, oh, now I remember. It started from, there is a TV program that started actually last night. So we're just talking of the build-up, and we were applauding the particular gentleman who's heading it. It's basically a discipline camp. And we're talking about how he's taken the age group up to about 24, if I'm not mistaken. And the conversation we were having, especially because he's taking it on TV now, is cases where a parent is taking their child to this discipline camp and they're above the age of 18. I mean, that's a person who's officially legal, who can make their own decisions. And to now say a parent must take their 18 to 24-year-old to the discipline camp and have the parent give consent, it's a bit of a tricky one if you think about it, because now this child is an adult. Anyway, that's not where the conversation is all around. But the conversation was, about young people in general who, and particularly this young girl is now 16, and how a lot of people have raised the argument that there's so many things that a 16-year-old has a right to now, but also in cases of, sexual consent, that is, especially now that they are looking for the 35-year-old man who impregnated her. So we're talking around that to say, look, it's becoming trickier and trickier because the laws are being changed and. And in light of that, we can look around us and look for the 35-year-old man, which should definitely happen. But also, are we dealing with the mental capacity and the psychology of this child, 16 years old, who's about to enter into adulthood? We're looking at it from now, as a 16-year-old, we're shocked, but now remember, this is a second child. And so the conversation was around what happened at 14 years. The boy child was also relatively young. What happened? What remedial action was taken? And it is a clear indication that the state of mind and psychology of this 16-year-old has not necessarily changed much, because we will not tackle that of the 15-year-old father, because we don't know what place he's at the moment. But we're talking about the 16-year-old, and we said, instead of condemning her, we need to get to a point where we sit down and reflect and ask ourselves, what conversations were heard in the past 2 years? Were there any conversations? We might never know those conversations. But also, we have a 16-year-old, soon to be 17, well, not really soon, only in August. But the truth is, what conversations are we having around our children? Are they open enough? Are they honest enough? Are they helping? That's the question as well, because we can have all these conversations. I know we've had with my niece, but we've still have had incidents where we're like, have we not spoken enough? What have we not said to you? Have we not been transparent with you? How much more transparent do we need to be? And so basically, there are just a lot of conversations that we wish we had had, and conversations we probably wish we didn't, because they haven't changed much. And so there's just a lot when it comes to young people, and my heart still stands for young people, and I wish different conversations we had. But the truth is, we can only go so much. We can only try to help so much. And so it's one of the reasons why I really love these conversations that Given gets to have. And I make sure that my little, rather young one, my niece, gets to listen to these. And so today I decided to, bring along one of the conversations that he has. And he says, great things to celebrate about young people. As much as we still cry and murmur and we worry about them, they're still great conversations. There's still great things to say about them. And so listen up to this.
If there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that when you're too focused on pointing out the negative things that someone is doing or participating in, you miss out on even the very significant, beautiful things that they might be doing in order to contribute or add value to the people around them. And I think we often do that with young people. We spend quite a lot of our time focusing on what they're doing wrong. How are they being, used? How are they being misled? What types of bad music they listen to? What type of bad places are they hanging out at? But in truth, that just paints an unnecessarily overly bleak image of who young people today are. And of course, when I'm speaking of young people personally, I am referring to Generation Z, also known as the Zoomers or Gen Zs, right? This is the generation that was born as the natives of the internet. They do not know a world or without the internet and the digital age and without the screens that exist today. They know Uber, they know Uber Eats, they know how to, make purchases on Amazon and how to make international purchases. That's the world that they live in. And of course, there's a lot of things that we can make, that we can reference when discussing why this new young generation is a bad generation. But it is important to sit down and think about what it is that we can appreciate about them and actually celebrate that. It is when you celebrate a person that you get their attention, when they realize that you actually care about their well-being. You don't just want them to change and become better for your own convenience, but you actually care about them. So that's the spirit in which we're having tonight's discussion, right? We're having the discussion in the spirit of, we need to celebrate young people also to show them that we care about their well-being, and we're willing to dig deep if we have to find those beautiful qualities that exist within them. And a few things that I want to discuss is, first of all, is one that I've already mentioned, the fact that young people are digital natives. They live and understand the world of technology very well. So as a result, most of them don't need to be taught how to do a lot of things that we needed to learn. And we needed to go, like, for example, let me make this example. You would be very hard pressed to hire a Gen Z who does not know how to use a computer, how to type, how to send an email, how to attach, how to put an attachment on an email. They're not very common. In fact, even those that come from less privileged areas tend to know how to do the most basic things with a computer, tablet, or even a phone. They can use a mobile device as well as they can a laptop and do almost exactly the same thing, as long as those things are not high demand, like the high demand work in terms of processing power. But that's one beautiful thing to celebrate about modern young people. They're digital natives. They understand technology and they're well aware of how the world around them functions. And that brings me to the second point that I want to celebrate about young people. The fact that modern young people are global citizens. They are not limited by the constraints of their borders. They have friends that exist in other countries, which opens their minds to the idea that just because someone is a foreign national, it does not make them your enemy. You can work together with them. You can collaborate with them in doing creative work. And that's what young people today do. I've watched numerous videos of young people collaborating on platforms like TikTok, not to do bad things, but just to make beautiful music, to preach sermons, to have Bible studies, to have constructive conversations about their communities and the world as it is. And you'll find someone who lives in some part of Africa, collaborating with someone who lives in Western Europe, or collaborating with someone who lives in South Korea. And that is incredible, you know? That could not have existed in another era. And you have to commend young people for seeing the technologies and social media platforms that exist today as an opportunity for them to collaborate with each other. Young people today are very well informed. I think we can all agree that this is, I mean, all of us can agree on this one. Young people today are very, very, very well informed. I'm not so sure if they are the most independent generation, right? And by that, I mean the generation that moves away from leaning on their parents or guardians quicker than previous generations. However, I can say that the modern world does make that possible for them. However, we young people today, unfortunately, do find themselves being a lot more spoiled, a lot more coddled, because their parents are a lot more capable financially and tend to be a lot more emotionally available than previous generations. So in that regards, I will say that it is an area that they might need to work on. But you can at the same time appreciate them for because of how they were raised, because they were raised by parents who were emotionally present, and because they were raised in abundance, they tend to want abundance for other people. They tend to want emotional connection and emotional availability in relationships. This is a true thing. Young people today are a lot more emotionally available in relationships than any other generation, because they understand the value of being emotionally present. Now, this is not to say that quality is evenly distributed amongst all young people. Yes, there are some young people, unfortunately, that are raised in homes where parents have taught them not to be emotionally available. Although you tend to find that when they meet with friends out there, friends will pull them out of that comfort zone and give them hugs and, you know, hold their hand as they're walking out on the street, send each other texts saying, "I love you. You're the most awesome person ever. Thank you for doing this for me," which lifts one's self-esteem. And this might cause a contradiction as you're sitting there thinking, because young people today are the most depressed generation out there. And of course, there are things we can discuss regarding that and why there's a coexistence between them being both affectionate and also being one of the loneliest generation in the world. Let me not say in the world, one of the loneliest generation in our time, you know. It's a very big contrast, right? But at the same time, what I want to pull is the fact that they are a generation that understands emotional connection. They're a generation that's even so well informed that they are causing companies to be more environmentally friendly. It is not a coincidence that a company as big as Apple, and now you're also finding other companies following suit, is looking to go green and to have zero carbon emission. Those are modern young people causing those companies. Remember that companies don't make changes that modern consumers don't care about, especially when you're a tech company, because tech companies target modern generations, because they are the ones driving technology. They are the ones causing technology to go a particular direction. So it is important to acknowledge, right, and understand the fact that companies are shifting, especially modern tech companies, as a result of the younger generations, right? The reason that we have the explosion and the convenience of Uber, the reason that we have the explosion and the convenience of home deliveries from companies like your Checkers, and now getting into your Pick and Pays and the games, and you can just go on your phone and order things to be delivered on your doorsteps, and you have delivery services like OneCart, which are incredible, and it baffles me how such companies and delivery systems can work so well in South Africa. And not to say that South Africa is a bad country in any way, but personally, I never thought I'd see the day. You always think that such services will only function well in Western communities and Western countries, you know? And when it finally comes home, it just gives you a bit of a reminder that, wow, there are things to celebrate about the country that I live in. Another beautiful thing to celebrate about Gen Zs is the fact that they actually are one of the hardest working generations. That definitely might sound wrong, because they are often accused of being the lazy generation that wants to spend a little bit of time, which is true. That's also something that we are acknowledging, that is true, and it does exist amongst Gen Zs. But here's the thing. Gen Zs live in an era of what is known as the gig economy, right? Previous generations didn't have that concept. They didn't understand that. Previous generations understood this. You go to school, you finish school, you graduate, you get your diploma or degree, then you go and work at a place, stay there until you die. Gen Zs don't have that privilege. Or I should rather say that it's not as abundant as it used to be. Nowadays, young people have to work multiple jobs and pull multiple streams of income. Even if they are not working at a particular office, they are doing some kind of job online, some kind of gig, doing photography, admin, you know, what do you call this? Digital admin. It's not called digital admin. I just forgot the technical term. But these are the things that they are involved in. And that's why I'm saying that they are one of the hardest working generations. However, they might not have staying power, right? Which is something that we can debate another day. They might not be the type to stay in a particular industry or company until they reach retirement age. They're looking for adventure, which can also be looked at as a positive that needs to be celebrated. I honestly think I have so many more things to celebrate about young people today, but unfortunately I don't have as much time. So I'm going to cut it there for now. And you sit down and think to yourself, what are the things that you appreciate about modern Gen Zs or young people, anyone that you consider a young person? What do you celebrate about them?
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
The Word for You Today is our youth devotional that has been available as a printed booklet and has also been accessible via email. It is intended to encourage and guide young people in their walk with God. Well, we are excited to announce that the youth devotional is going fully digital. This means that the Word for You Today booklet will no longer be available in hard copy or sent by post, but it will still be accessible on the I Am Youth website, email subscription, and the I Am Youth app, which is available on both the Google Play Store and App Store for iPhone users. Visit www.imymovement.co.za and join the move to digital.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.